The state of Utah's legal arguments in the same-sex marriage debate have changed pretty dramatically through the course of its filings. This, according to an article published today by Adam Liptak, Supreme Court correspondent for the New York Times. I had a chance to speak with Liptak earlier today and asked him to outline the evolving position of the state of Utah before the courts.
So whenever the government enacts a law that discriminates against a group of people, it has to have a reason. And Utah has put forward now three different reasons. The first, which is what they put forward in front of Judge Shelby, the trial judge, was that it was important to make sure straight people procreated responsibly. And that argument makes sense on one level. If you make marriage more attractive, you're more likely that people will have their kids within marriage, and kids may be better off as a consequence of that. Judge Shelby said that was true so far as it goes, but it wasn't clear to him why excluding gay and lesbian couples made that any less likely. So that was the responsible procreation argument. And interestingly, when the case made its way briefly to the Supreme Court in a successful effort to stay Judge Shelby's ruling, Utah officials threw that responsible procreation argument overboard. So for some reason, they lost faith in that first argument. And they essentially replaced it with a different argument, which in shorthand they call optimal parenting. That is, they say that kids are better off if they are raised by their biological parents, by a mom and a dad. And there, too, the brief on the other side says, that may be so. Maybe it's so. Maybe it's not so. The scientific evidence, actually probably the weight of it, goes against it. But let's assume it's true. Not clear why letting forbidding gay and lesbian couples from marrying advances that interest. And then in their last brief in the Supreme Court, Utah officials refined this optimal parenting argument with something they called gender diversity, that just as we like to have a diverse student population in our colleges and universities, they said, it's a good idea to have gender diversity within parental units. So what's interesting is how the state's position has sort of shifted and evolved as it goes along.
Is that sort of a takeoff on affirmative action, and isn't that an unusual stance for a conservative state government to take?
Hey, very nice point. Yeah, I was surprised to see them citing the leading affirmative action case on behalf of the argument against same-sex marriage. I hadn't seen that before, and I'm a pretty close reader of briefs in this area.
So you end your article today with a candid moment from one of the lawyers for the state attorney general's office here in Utah, Stanford Purser. Maybe you could lay out that moment for us.
So the basic question through all these arguments is, how does same-sex marriage hurt opposite-sex marriage? And the answer Mr. Purser gave was, we don't know. Too soon to tell. It's a new phenomenon. Maybe it helps. Maybe it hurts. We don't know. And that's probably the most candid answer. And that's not truly a concession. It may be that courts should move slowly in upsetting centuries of tradition, but it's an easier argument to grasp than responsible procreation, optimal parenting, and gender diversity.
Well, and maybe that's the next argument the state will make. Do you think it's likely that that this case, which is before the 10th Circuit Court and may be heard in March, we're not quite certain, will make its way back to the Supreme Court?
I think there's a reasonable prospect, but I might put it south of 50-50. The Supreme Court is not eager to be forced to decide the ultimate question for all 50 states, including conservative states like Utah or Mississippi or Alabama, whether there is or is not a constitutional right to same-sex marriage. I think the Supreme Court would rather this percolate some more. We're at 17 states now. I don't think they want to return to this until that number is much higher. But maybe they'll feel forced to return to it in this case.
And with other cases pending in other states challenging, the prohibition on same-sex marriage, are we likely to see more states added to that list soon, do you think?
The trend towards same-sex marriage will continue to expand, but much of the work in the most liberal states has already been done. So it's hard to know how quickly the map will expand. And what the Supreme Court would like to see, I'm guessing, is a map that looked like 1967 when it struck down bans on interracial marriage, where only 16 states continued to forbid interracial marriage. Hmm.
Adam Liptak is the Supreme Court correspondent for the New York Times. Adam, thanks very much for joining us today.
Great to be here.